On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Tall Can Sports. I really find that new shortened opening, man.
I like it.
Get right to the fucking point.
With the big crescendo right into our
letdown. Crescendo to a letdown.
Oh.
It's these guys again. Rob over there, Matt over here. And another episode of Tall Can Sports. We had a couple of things to get to. Let's start with, because I think they kind of tie together pretty nicely. So let's start with Monday night's Toronto Maple Leafs game as big man Leo Komarov destroys little man.
Uncle Lou?
Uncle Leo.
Uncle Leo.
Somebody answer that damn phone.
As he's looking off.
Well, I can't yell into the microphone.
I get it, man.
Johnny destroys Johnny Gaudreau along the boards. Mark Giordano.
Okay, but a lot of belly aching, first of all, about dirty hit, headshot, all that sort of stuff, right? Clean hit, right? And I think in real time, when things happen like that, you go, wow.
Yeah.
Right? Then when you're looking, there was no call on the ice.
No. And that's exactly what I'm thinking while I'm watching the game. The refs come together and, oh, here we go. We're going to get a little retroactive. You know, it was very much looked like an IIHF situation. That hit made a lot of noise, and that guy is still down, so I should go back.
Yeah, the guys should be penalized.
Right.
But not clean hit.
Yeah. And he did. He got him, you know, he's a shorter guy, and he did hit his head, but that wasn't the principal point of contact.
Right.
It's a tough thing when a, you know, little guy gets hit by a big guy like that, and the one thing that, you know, our friend that we've mentioned before around here, Steve Dangle, wasn't his point, but he was the one who retweeted to obviously all the Leaf fans who were looking to him, goes, you want to have this conversation when it's Mitch Marner? And you go, yeah, okay. Like, if you want to put that back around and everybody said, it's an unfortunate hit,
right,
but it's a legal hit right now. And we can talk about...
Well, and Gaudreau, clearly, you know, they're on the power play. They're not looking for...
That's the thing.
Right, he's not looking for Komarov in that spot,
right? He feels like he's got a little more time and space out here.
Whammo!
And all of a sudden, someone's on top of him and burying him with a good hit. Now, we can talk about whether or not that should be a good hit, but right now it is. And
you know what? What are you going to do? Are you going to take that out too?
Well,
You and I talked on this show about Chris Neal, right? 1,000 games, well over 100 fights.
Yep.
Man, some crazy open ice hits. Never been suspended, okay? But when you look back through the history of his career, there's some hits that would be suspendable now.
Right, right.
So to me, you can't take that Komarov hit out.
Well, and so the point that I saw, and I can't remember who had said it, but it was one of the bloggers, and it might have been a Sens blogger who just happened to have been watching this Leaf game, and he said, maybe, and I'm not saying that because he was wrong, I actually kind of agree with him, where you go, maybe one of those hits that everyone goes, yeah, I guess that's legal, but leaves a guy laying on the ice, shouldn't be legal, right? Like, maybe the times where we're having these conversations, it gets tough because, like you said, I don't know what you do.
You take contact out of the game.
Yeah.
Period. Like, full.
Because if Komarov lets
stop.
Goudreau get by him, he's the one getting ripped, right? That's a soft play, and that, you know,
and
you can't let their
point,
best shooter.
And as you've said, it's not the principal point of contact. And if you let a guy who's 6 foot plus,
yep,
whatever Komarov
I think
is,
he's 6'2".
And then a 5'6" or whatever Johnny Goudreau is.
Yeah, 5'8", I think they said he is, yeah.
Generous in the,
yeah, maybe.
In the program,
yeah,
right? At some point, you have to say, that's like bringing up the 3-foot midget in baseball and going, take a look at that strike zone. what do you do? Because he can't hit that guy now?
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's it. Because you kind of get to a point where Mitch Marner or Tyler Johnson or Johnny Goudreau, Marty St. Louis in the day, you just got to give those guys a free pass.
Man, I'm just waiting for Mitch Marner to get his.
And he's going to, right? Like, we talked about that on the last show.
I was calling for it in the preseason, and it just hasn't happened.
But at some point, everybody
gets
it. And he's
like a little cricket.
He's elusive.
He's jumping all over the place. He's just speedy.
But some of these Calgary people who were upset and made that point are probably right. Leaf fans lose their mind if that hit happens the other way.
Well, everybody's like that.
Right. But that doesn't mean you take it. It means you wait the 24 hours and everybody goes, yeah.
Okay, and I'm not a fan of either team.
Right.
Right? And to me, and I think where we're going with this conversation is, once they hit the hits go, you know, to me, you can't take that hit out.
Right.
I think if anything, you got to tell Goudreau, yeah, you got to get lifts on.
Yeah.
You got to make the 5'10 threshold or else you're susceptible to head blows. Sorry.
That's just the way it is.
That's the way it is.
Yep.
Or you have to wear a full cage, or you got to do a bunch of things. I don't know, below a certain. You can't take everything out.
So let's move past that.
Yeah, to me, the most fascinating part about that was a Brian Burke team, right? The reaction they had to it, right? And we talked about it off air. That wide angle shot they showed from behind where. And again, they're on the power play, right? And Giordano's skating up the ice, and the hit takes place, and he, you can see him sort of looking over.
Ah, fuck.
And then he's like, nah, he's not getting up. No, I guess I better. And then he does his little triple sow cow, whatever that was.
Where he bails right
before. Yeah, they say, you know, like, okay, and then hugging, I don't know.
What are you doing here, man?
They didn't even call fighting majors on.
No, and it was interesting, after the fight, Komarov kind of gives him the tap and goes, yeah, I get it, right? You had to. And I normally hate that shit where every clean hit results in
a
scrum
like it,
or a
like
fight.
It 'cause it's a leaf.
In this case, yeah. You mean? Yeah, okay, maybe.
Spade, be a spade.
Yeah, but I normally, league-wide, I hate that thing where every clean hit leads to a scrum and a fight, and you got to answer for that. No, it was a clean hit. Tell your fucking guy to keep his head up, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Some, not all hits are created equal. And I think in any era, you see Lemieux get buried like that along the boards with a clean hit. Someone's jumping in, right? Kevin Stevens is jumping in there, or whoever it's going to be, Semenko for Gretzky. There's some times where even if it's clean, you got to step up for your guy.
Well, and you know what? But to me, and that was it. There was no, and again, this is kind of the interesting point to me, and where we are in the sport post Bertuzzi and McSorley, Brashear, all that sort of stuff, right? Everything post that, when you hear somebody say, or Gudbranson this year saying, Matt Martin's a dead man next time I see him, or those sorts of things. And then bad shit happens, right? And so, what to me, you hear, and I was listening to Pierre Maguire this morning.
Right.
He was talking about the hit, and he was saying, no, back in the day when he was an assistant on those cup-winning Penguins teams, that's what he said. He goes, you'd tell a, what was the word he used? I don't know, utility guy or a player further down your depth chart.
Yeah.
You know, something happens to Stevens or to Coffey or to Lemieux, whoever it may
Young
be.
Young Yager, Francis.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you say, you know, you go out there and you tell the guy, you whisper in somebody's ear, hey.
You're going to deal with that.
This happens to our guys. We're coming back twice as hard on one of your guys.
Right.
Whoever that may be. And as Stevie Dangle said, Marner.
Yep.
Matthews.
There's a a lot of room for that on Toronto, right? Because they're not a particularly tough team right now.
Right. And so to me, and it sort of seems, and that's only the 91, 92.
Yeah.
It's 25 years ago, but it feels like forever that you would encourage that kind of, right? And so to me, I'm wondering.
Hooliganism?
Yeah, okay. And where it's gone and what do we do? Because to me, if I'm a Flames fan, I am very unsatisfied with the way my team's responded. A, you're getting your ass kicked on the scoreboard, and you're getting your ass kicked on the ice.
Right. And I'm sure you've seen the highlights, but I'm sure you didn't watch the game. Right?
No, I did not.
In the third period, you can see as Toronto makes it 4-0, there's guys out for retribution, right?
Who was it that got slew-footed near the end of the...
So two of them. At the end, it's Sam Bennett slew-foots Connor... Sam Carrick, and Carrick gets up and tries to break his stick over Bennett's neck, which was... Connor Carrick's one of these weird guys. He's not a physical player at all, but you can just see every now and then he snaps when something happens. And it was a cheap shot. The Bennett, you know, slew-footed him, and he jumped up and cross-checked.
Slew-foot is crazy dangerous.
And so then at the buzzer, Matthew Tkachuk, wonder where he picked this up,
Does
the exact same thing to Martin Marinson, who I wouldn't be all that upset to see back on the IR, but it was a dirty, he kind of kicks his legs out from behind and puts his stick into his chest. Like, he's trying hard to give him a heart, and he had to be helped off the ice. And at the buzzer, you go, yeah, you can see on the score sheet, at 20 minutes, Matthew Tkachuk, 2 minutes for roughing. And you go, yeah, okay, thanks, Stripes, right? Like,
well, and to me, a slew foot like that is more dangerous than a board.
Yeah. For sure it is.
Like, at least with a board, you have, in theory, the chance to get your hands up.
Yep.
Slewfoot, you got nothing. It's
right.
The back of your dome coming down on the ice.
Even before those, Chiasson tries to throw a hard elbow on Matthews, ends up missing. There's one of the Flames who he's trying to hit a line drive off William Nylander in his own zone and ends up missing and falling. That was clear. But you can see they just stink at it at getting retribution and you can see they're trying to be cheap and the Leafs are just cycling them into the ground. Like that.
Yeah.
The Leafs are just a better skating team than Calgary. And so it gets into their end.
Better skating team than a lot of teams.
Right. But you kind of could see they were trying, but they just sucked at it. And you're right. As a Flames fan, we got our asses kicked on the scoreboard and we got nothing for what happened to our guy.
Right.
It was fucking.
And to me, and I know Brian Burke, I understand is away. I think his father's passed away.
Yes.
And so he's not there for that. But you know it's got to be when he gets that report.
Yeah.
Right, whether it's late last night or first thing today, right, and he's looking at all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
That's got to be chafing him wickedly.
Yeah. They buried our top guy and you let it happen.
So to me, and again, I know I'm sort of speaking out of both sides of my mouth when I say, right, that it's a different day and age, and we've talked about hits and what should be allowable and the decreasing in fighting and vigilante justice on the ice and that sort of stuff. But nobody enjoys it more than me a couple of years ago when Ottawa and Montreal played in the playoffs and they had the line brawl and Ottawa's beating Montreal 6-1 on the scoreboard and then they beat them in all five fights on the ice.
Yeah,
it's exhilarating, right? Or the year before that when they played the Rangers and Brian Boyle is taking advantage of a young Erik Karlsson, you know, giving him rabid punches in the face with his glove on still, right? But sort of like, hey, kid, you know, when he's winging him around, right?
Right.
And then the next day they dress, you know, Matt Karkner, right?
You remember in the 11 finals, Brad Marchand dummying over and over and over Daniel Sedin in the face, just bang, 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 and no one doing anything.
Right. And the next day, Karkner saying to Brian Boyle, yeah, we're going to fight. And Boyle saying, no, we're not. And Karkner's like, okay, yeah, we are.
One of us is.
Yeah, gloves are off, and he just punches the big, stupid Boyle right into a big heap on the ground. And I love that. and he goes, I don't care. I'll take the 5-minute.
Yeah.
Right? And the message was sent. New York scores a goal on that five-minute power.
But Ottawa
went on to win the game.
You get energized by that to a certain – a guy stepped up, did what he's supposed to do. We'll get that back, right? That was one worth taking kind of thing.
Because you're not going to do that again. So to me, there are – you know, you don't see the Matt Karkners anymore, right? That sort of has gone by
– Well, you used to think back the Leafs were dressing both McLaren and Orr and – had just a useless line on the ice all the time. But the Leafs didn't get fucked with like that. Now they have players worth protecting. And that's gone.
Zach Stratini's available.
No, he's not. Picked up by the Sharks today. He's obviously a hot commodity.
Apparently.
Sad to see Buddy Robinson headed out.
So, but to me, okay, you know what? And briefly, and it's happened now a couple of days ago, right? The Zach Smith signing, very big here.
Yeah.
Right?
Good value. What was that, $3.5 million?
Three and a quarter.
That's a good signing.
And for 4 years.
Yeah.
And so to me, yeah, what he brings.
Well, because we talked about this on a previous show, I think. Maybe it was off air. I can't remember. But he, you know, guy who got up over 20 goals last
25
year.
25 goals last
looks
year.
Looks like he'll get close to that maybe this year. And we
on pace for 21. And honestly, he had a slow start. He had an injury. He was out.
I guess it was on the show that we talked was, what does $5 million get you now? 60 points, right?
Right.
And if he's going to be on pace for 40 or 50 and you're giving him $3 million, you, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take that. He's it's a good deal.
Well, and honestly, he can fight if you need.
Yeah.
Right. He's a break even face off guy. Right. So to me, he can kill penalties. They had him on the second power play unit. He's honestly.
Yeah. I think that's stretching it a little. Like, I think if they have Clark MacArthur in the lineup, if Bobby Ryan's doing what he's supposed to be doing, all these things, you don't want Zach Smith on the power play. But I think that's a good value signing for the Senators.
Well, see, to me, I would rather see him in front of the net on the second power play unit than Dion Phaneuf.
Yeah, okay. I've seen Dion Phaneuf on the power play for many years.
But you've seen him back on the point.
They're using him in front of the net.
They're using him right in front of the net.
And they did. Toronto did try that briefly, but they would rather have him on the point missing the net a lot when he shoots.
So. Yeah, well, and maybe that's why.
Maybe. Yeah, we didn't have an Erik Karlsson to turn to.
Yeah, although Karlsson.
Few teams do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but anyways, to me, that's a.
So you wanted to touch a little bit on, because a while back, like, David Branch has been very adamant, for people who don't know, president of the CHL,
Commissioner of the
Ontario Hockey League, and he put in a rule in the OHL basically saying, because he knew he wouldn't have the support to get rid of fighting completely, but what was it, 10 fighting majors and you get a 2-game suspension?
Yeah, 10 fighting majors in a season gets you a 2-game suspension.
Right. And so, I mean, that's a – most players are never fighting 10 times in a season, but your enforcers are gone. You no longer have a use to me, right? Like, and I think that's what he was trying to – like, right. We used to talk quite a bit.
He wants to drum out the 19-year-old who's beating the hell out of a 16-year-old.
Right, and I think that's probably something we should all get on board with. But the days, like, it's not more than 2-3 years ago. We were talking a ton about staged fighting. That's gone in the NHL and in the CHL. And,
right.
Like, you don't ever see that anymore, where it's just two guys that are on your roster to do that and, hey – momentum is this and this, and we'll line up on that. That's gone.
And then, and what brings this more current than that? That's a couple years old, I think. Mm-hmm. That David Branch has moved there. Branch at a recent gathering with the Q Commissioner Gilles Couteau, I think, and
sounds right.
Ron Robinson,
the Dub.
Yeah, and him saying, "Yeah, we don't need fighting."
Right,
and now. There's no move for it, but what he's saying is, he said, I know there's no appetite to totally get rid of it, but we don't need it in our leagues anymore. And to me, and I know we've touched on this in a previous show, I'm almost positive, but I used to love Thursday nights in Peterborough, going to see Pete's games and a good scrap. Loved it, right? But I was 14,
yeah.
Or I was 15,
yeah.
Right? I went last year when Erie came through, or 2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago when Connor McDavid was still in Erie and going to see them. And then there was a fight. And I remember thinking, and people are cheering,
yeah.
Just like they always were,
right?
Only now.
I'm a 40-year-old man.
I'm an adult.
Yeah.
And I'm watching two 18-year-olds fight on the ice.
Right.
And I found the whole thing distasteful.
Yeah. And it's similar in a little way. I've talked in the World Juniors before, but, you know, you get. and it is the same in junior hockey across the CHL. You get a 40-year-old guy who had a rough week at work, shows up, drinks six beer, and starts screaming profanities at a teenager. Like, what has gone wrong in your life, man? Yeah. And now that you're finding enjoyment out of two 17-year-olds beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
What's happened to you?
Well, and for me, in
hashtag
the opposite,
Bell, let's talk.
Exactly. In the opposite direction, I have a teenage son.
Right.
Right. Who plays hockey, not at that level.
Right.
But I sure as hell wouldn't want to see him fighting in front of 10,000 people.
Get pummeled or pummel someone else.
Well, because you know what? Everybody gets pummeled.
At some point in your life.
Exactly. It doesn't matter who you are.
You know what? It's healthy. It doesn't have to be on the ice in front of 10,000 people, but you need to be at some point put in your place. Right?
And again, when I was going to see the Petes, loved it. Ty Domi was in his 3-year run as a Pete.
Right. Probably the last time he loved Ty.
And he cleaned out a bunch of guys, but there were guys who just fought.
Yeah.
Who were cleaning his clock.
Right.
Right? And so everybody in junior hockey gets it. But to me, the idea that Matt Barnaby can say he fought 200 times before he ever got to the NHL.
That's a bit much.
Okay.
Also, I didn't know Matt Barnaby was still a thing.
Okay, no. But just in terms of you're looking at that going,
yeah,
hey, cut it in half.
Right. How many blows to the head do
this
you want your
it.
Teenager taking?
This is,
right?
And then going on top of that, you have all the, from an NHL career fighting, and you just sort of go, wow.
See, here's the thing, right? You see embarrassing fights in the NFL or the NBA or whatever, where it's not part of the game and there is no 5-minute penalty and then you go back to, I get it, like, you remember back, and this is always it's a long time ago and it's a rare thing, but everyone remembers the 04 Cup Final. Jerome Iginla and Vincent LeCavalier beating the shit out of, I get that.
Probably the worst Stanley Cup Final ever.
Two guys, the captains of their team, and we have been going at it for 2 weeks now. I'm sick of your shit, and this time you rode me into the corner too hard or whatever it was, and we're going to go. Every man's been through that, right? Like, at some point, I've had enough of you.
Yeah.
But two guys that just are here for nothing else than fighting, you can go. I don't need you here. This doesn't increase. But I get it if you've had a rivalry or just a rough night or whatever and two guys decide we're doing this. But the staged shit, that's got – like, I don't think you're – even in the junior hockey, despite what you said about it being – like, what is completely eradicating it mean? Like, when they say you should ban fighting, two guys can still get pissed off and fight. What does that look like? Is it you're out of the game? Is it a 5-game suspension? Is it a...
Yeah, it's probably... You're probably looking at a suspension.
That's how you're going to... Yeah, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you, but that's how you're going to ban fighting. Because there's no fighting allowed in the other sports, but it does happen from time to
time. Right. I think there would have to be a punitive in-game penalty for it as well as...
It's got to hurt your team too.
Right. Right. And maybe there's another roster spot that has to get... You have to play down a man. I have no idea.
Yeah. And that's been one
thing.
So
it's not just losing you lump of...
I can't replace you.
Right. You have to take another guy off the roster.
Right. Yeah, and that has been one way I've seen it, that while you're out for fighting, I got to dress 11 forwards instead of 12 or whatever.
Whatever it is.
Right.
And so to me, that's kind of... And again, I'm not certainly advocating that tomorrow...
No.
You have to get rid of it. But to me, I think... Yeah, I think fighting... And again, you're as you said, perfect. That's example. I don't mind seeing Iginla and LeCavalier fight.
Right.
Perfect.
Those are both, at the time, like, what, 40, 50 goal guys that are captaining their team, super important players. They're not just lunkheads out
there. Well, the other night, Ottawa Columbus, Nick Foligno and Dion Phaneuf.
Right.
Now, they didn't fight, but they have fought. They fought when Phaneuf was a Leaf and Foligno was still a Senator.
Everyone was fighting Dion when he was a Leaf.
Well, but you know what? And honestly, and you as a Leaf fan will know this, and he's slower than I thought he was going to be, right? And I'm sure Leaf fans get that. His foot speed is just...
It's not good.
But he's heavy on the stick, and he irritates the hell out of everybody.
Yeah.
Like, they showed clips from the Columbus game, the last, not the 7-6 game a while ago, but the 2-0 game. Yeah, Dubinsky wanted a piece of him. Hartnell wanted a piece of him. Foligno was one. And you show them all skating up the ice, and they're all slashing and whacking at him. And he's got guys totally...
Yep, out of the play, off their game.
Pissed off. Yeah. And they're just like, and they're yapping and they're gumming away at him. And he's like, right? And you're just like, fuck that guy. He's stupid. Right? But There
yeah.
he is.
Yeah.
He's pushing you down. He's cross-checking you in the back. He's,
yeah. No, he was a dick to play against.
Well, this right? is, and, yeah. and I don't – you hate. I hated him, right?
Cause
he,
sure.
He, but he looks like that too, right? He's like, and you listen to him talk in his monotone voice, and you're like – and you're like, oh, fuck, shut up. You know, but yeah. And again, slower than I thought.
Right.
Like, wow, man, dude is really
– Yeah.
But –
That's
some of the
10
things
years
that I,
of people hacking at your
yeah
legs.
That I didn't know that he brought right was yeah. just what a douche he is and how hard he is to play against.
And that doesn't sound like it, but I know at this point now that he's a senator, you mean that as a compliment, right? Like a not to the same level, but
absolutely
the way Brad Marchand is a douche, right? The way Steve Downey was a douche, right? The fuck, get this guy away from me,
like yeah.
So
Steve Downey,
that's may I edit that out. How do you so? What is your stance at this point on fighting in junior hockey versus fighting in the NHL? If you were the NHL, let's start there. Do you want to change anything?
The NHL?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No.
Because it does because seem already to be weeding itself out.
Well, because you can't afford to have those guys in a four,
right.
in a four-line game.
Right.
Right? If you're playing against guys...
Like you have, and I don't say this, you have Curtis Lazar on your fourth line. We have Nikita Soshnikov. You can run
yeah.
skill guys out there. You can't afford to carry a couple of goons anymore.
And this is what I'm saying is yeah. is that takes care of itself.
Right.
When you have enough people, and I think Detroit being the sort of the,
yeah.
the pioneers of that, we're not going with the tough guy.
Right.
We're just going to run four lines, obviously under the Babcock and Holland. It's been like that forever, right?
Right. Yeah. Our fourth line can outskate yours and
– This is it.
Yeah.
And so there's only so many cheap shots and stuff that you can do. And we're just going to keep eventually wearing you down with skill.
Right? And that's, I think, where they kind of had a old school Lou and new school Babcock in Toronto at least met on Matt Martin. They overpaid Matt Martin. But for the job he does, he can play a bit and he will go and fight who he's got to fight for the kids. But it hasn't been very often, right? Like, I don't know. They always talk about having that guy in the lineup is supposed to be the deterrent. I don't know if that works or not. I don't know that it does. If someone wanted to last night, whenever it was Monday night, run over Mitch Marner, Matt Martin's not on the ice with Mitch Marner, right? So I don't know how much of a deterrent that was going right. to be in a fight back situation.
Like, it's like every time in Ottawa and then they pan to the bench and you see Chris Neal and he looks like that dog that somebody's eating his bone, right?
Right.
He's got that look on his face
yeah.
like, but I'm on the bench.
If I was out there.
But I'm on the, exactly.
Right, but I'm not going to be, but if I was.
Yeah.
But so I don't know how much that. But if you're going to do it, you see more and more of those guys who can play a bit. And Chris Neal's one of those guys.
Right.
Maybe not now at the end of it, but he's been as high as a – you could play him on your third line. You could like
– Yeah, you're not contending, but
– Sure.
Yeah.
But he's not
– He's not hurting. He can forecheck. He can skate.
Right.
He can do
and
all
And that's all
things.
I'm saying. The days of Fraser McLaren and Colt Moore, that's over. Because those guys give you nothing. They don't forecheck. They have no chance of scoring. They don't contribute anything
They're
but
face punching.
They're chasing
the play all the time.
Right.
Right. And so to come back to your question,
yeah.
I'm going to wrap this up nicely for you.
All right.
Right. To me, it's no different than the guys who take the visors off or the cages off from the NCAA when they get to the NHL. It's the same thing with fighting in major junior hockey. You don't need to do it. You want to fight when you get to the NHL? Fine.
Right.
It doesn't have to be. It's not part of the NCAA game.
Right.
There's not a pile of fighting there.
No. Nope.
And man, some of the best fighters... You know what? And I'm not sure he's the best fighter, but I think George Peros, I think, was a...
Harvard.
Yeah.
There's a few like that. I can't remember them all now.
Well, this is it, right?
They're like Ivy League fucking guys.
This is it. And so a lot of those guys you come from, you go, look, they didn't fight.
Right.
They couldn't fight a pile, but here they are. So to me, you don't need to do it in major junior hockey either.
So you would kick it out of junior, leave it in the NHL?
Yeah, well, because as you said, it's already policing itself
yeah.
in the NHL. They're still fighting.
Yeah.
Right? But it's drastically reduced.
Yeah.
And it will continue to go that way until, of course, the league mandates it out on its own because, you know, as I've said before, you can't be serious about stopping head trauma but then allow a guy to
punch each other.
Punch another guy in the head.
Yeah. Yeah. We're taking out headshots unless you're...
Unless
literally
it's with
punching
your, exactly, with your fist. And then you can punch them as many times and as hard as they can. And hopefully they get knocked out and they fall flat on their face.
Speaking of George Peros.
Yeah. Wow, that was ugly.
Fuck, it was. Now he had done that to enough other guys in his career. But anyway. Yeah, you know what? It's an interesting debate. It's probably one that's not close to ending. But in the NHL, you hear far less about it than you used to.
And again, and I'm sorry.
Even as recently as 2 years
ago. And I'm going to take this out of whack again, but to wrap this up.
Unwrap this.
And to bring it back to its full start again, this is what's going to cause, well, okay, that and crappy goaltending, is what's going to cause the Flames to miss the playoffs, right? Early in the season when they lost Goudreau to the wrist injury, when honestly guys are just targeting his wrist, whacking him, and right. There's no response from the Flames.
Look at that lineup. Who's going to do it?
Okay, but you got to do something. Team tough. How about that?
Michael Frolik?
Yeah, great. Well, you don't need him. He's not doing anything anyways.
Michael Backlund?
But
Matt Stajan?
Yeah.
Someone's...
Well, shame on you for compiling that list of losers.
Brian Burke?
So this is it. Yeah, Burke may have to take his tie off and come down and do it himself.
Hey, you know what? I don't want any part of him.
I think he's getting old enough now. You could probably take
Fuck, man. I was listening back to one of our fucking season preview shows. You're fighting. You're ready to fight Pat Quinn. And I don't remember. Yeah, John right. Muckler, you were ready to wrestle with. Now it's Brian Burke. I'm taking Brian Burke to fuck you up.
Well, yeah, too bad, because it's you fighting him, not me.
Oh, no.
So,
I don't want to fight.
Yeah, Brian. You can't. Well, you know what? I'm still taking him.
Okay.
I'm taking all NHL executives over 70. Whatever.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here on that note.
See ya.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.